I'm gonna give you another chance to do what a few did at the end of that song. How great is our God? Amen. Amen. Well, we're in a couple of lesson series on Saved at Sea, and this week we have a special focus, and that focus is something beautiful, someone good. But before I get to the lesson, I got to tell you about a couple of goobers last week. Now, let me explain what a goober is. It's not a person, it's a mess up. It's not a sin, it's just a mess up. And I had a big mess up in my sermon last week. Anybody remember what it was? Because some of you know, I know. How old was Moses when he led the children through the Red Sea? 80, not 120, right? Okay, so that was the first goober. What's the second goober? We went too long last week for our Sunday school teachers. And I was going to tell you, we're not going to do it again, but we're going to be installing deacons today, and I hope we don't run over. But we're going to do better about not going too long, okay? Is that a deal? But for us to finish on time, I need some help. So, anybody in here in the third, fourth, or fifth grade? Can you raise your hand? Are you in the third, fourth, fifth grade? You are? All right, up close and personal. Do you like to tell jokes? Okay, anybody in the third, fourth, or fifth grade, and if you're younger or older, you want to do this too, if you write me a joke that you think I might want to use in church, I'll try to work it in, okay? And the reason I'm telling you that is our lesson today is about the first baseball game in the Bible. In fact, it's the first baseball game in history. You know where it is? It's the big inning. Genesis 1. I know that's corny, but everybody turn to Genesis 1. It's the big inning. Now, there's a couple of more things that go with that. Last week's lesson was about the first tennis game in the Bible, right? Because Moses served in Pharaoh's court. Which brings me to an important question. Now, y'all be turning in your Bibles to Genesis 1, because I don't want this to just be dead time. I know Genesis 1 is hard to find in the beginning. But do you know who the second smallest person to ever live is? Nehemiah. Okay? And you know who the shortest one is? Bildad the Shuhite. That's right. See, we got some folks. So, if you're in third, fourth, or fifth grade, and you think I need some help, and everybody knows by now I need lots of help, help me out. Okay? Is that a deal? All right. We're in Genesis 1 this week, and I want us to do something that I think is really important when you get to Genesis 1. There is so much controversy and argument about Genesis 1. Evolution, creation. If you're a creationist, what kind of creationist are you? Old earth, new earth, under the earth, above the earth. And then we parse all the words out. Is it historical? Is it poetic? I want you to just remember the old days of the CB radio with the squelch knob. You know what the squelch knob is? There's all that background noise and you can't hear and you're trying to hear somebody that's trying to talk to you and you just turn up the squelch knob and you've drowned out all the argument or all the noise and you just try to listen to what God is saying. Because those of us that are gathered here today, we're Bible-believing people. So let's don't worry about all the noise. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us hear what God wants us to hear in Genesis 1. So before we read, let's bow. Our Father in heaven, you are God Almighty, the Creator. And we can see, we can try in our best imagination to dream and imagine what you can do, but you can do so much more than we can ask or even dream. And so we believe you can do anything, any way you want, anytime you want it. You're Creator. We have been touched by the gift of you coming to earth as Jesus. We welcome your presence into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And so we ask now that you help us hear some real simple but important messages. How you saved us from the sea in creation. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we're going to just read through Genesis 1. I'm going to be reading from NIV. And it's the 2011 version because it does some things especially well when we get to the end of the chapter. But this is the Word of God, very opening chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, now listen for that phrase, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault and the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit according to the seed in it, according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Yeah, it's okay to say that. God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars, and God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And so God created the creatures of the sea and everything living with which the waters teems, and that moves about in the seas, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning and there was the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the living creatures that move on the face of the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. To all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground and everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage that opens our Bible. And it tells us that we are created to be something beautiful and someone good. The language is mysterious that begins Genesis 1. It has this eerie quality. If there was a soundtrack to Genesis 1, it would have this eerie, almost haunting, threatening sound as you hear the opening verses of what God begins to do and He begins to create. Because we enter a time, the mysterious, pre-primal, fearful nothingness. We'll want to bring up the next slide. That's where we are, this pre-primal nothingness. You see, before the world, there was nothing except God. Genesis 1:1 describes it with this way. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. One of the reasons that many of us have a primal fear of drowning or of the ocean or of the seas or of tidal waves or of tsunamis or of hurricanes is because rooted in who we are as people is this awareness, this image that before there was anything, there was this sea of nothingness. And we fear deep in our souls that when we die, we go to that fearful nothingness. That there's nothing out there. That all life is matterless. It doesn't have consequence. And so, in the very beginning, as God begins to speak to us in His Word, He speaks to us and says, before there was anything, there was this sea of nothingness. And I chose to save you from this sea of nothingness. The New Testament declares repeatedly that Jesus is Creator in John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and without Him, what? Nothing was made that has been made. Nothing that has been made was made without Jesus. Hebrews 1 says basically the same thing. Colossians 1 says basically the same thing. And Genesis 1 talks about the Spirit of God as this great hovering being, hovering over the face of the sea of nothingness. God, Creator, Son, and Spirit are there before anything else is there. That's why we call Him I Am, isn't it? The one who is and who was and who is to come. God is always. God is always. And before there was anything, there was only God. But God defeated the fearful nothingness. And He brings to life variety. That's what Genesis 1 says, isn't it? He brings to life diversity, variety. All sorts of things come into existence. Genesis 1, 20 and 21. This is just one of the examples. There are three statements similar to this. God said, let the waters teem with living creatures. That's not T-E-A-M, like we're a team. It means let them overrun with these beings, with these creatures. In this case, it's not plants on the ground, it's birds and fish and all that inhabits the earth. But God creates all of this. God defeats the monster of the fearful nothingness. And He does it with variety and diversity. You want to know how God feels about diversity? Take a trip around the world. We used to sing red and yellow, black and white, and that became offensive. The reason it was offensive is not just because we look at people as colors, but we left out a bunch. And so now we talk about shades. Shades of grace, right? Because in the household of God, color doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not we recognize that every person, regardless of shade, is created in the image of God. Because God is a God of variety and diversity. When we go to the zoo, we don't go look at one animal. You may have a favorite. I always wanted to start with the chimpanzees when I was a little boy. And the reason I wanted to do that is because my mom used to say, "You're nothing but a bunch of chimpanzees," because we had three brothers. But I like to see them all, from the hippopotamus to the penguin, from the eagles to those bright-colored parrots, and especially the snakes, right? When you're a little boy, you love snakes. God creates all sorts of variety. And so when we open up the book of Genesis, the Bible, this opening chapter, what does it tell us? God loves variety. He doesn't want us to be the same. Just as we each have different fingerprints, God has chosen our DNA. He wants variety. God loves diversity, and variety is His favorite color. If you don't believe it, tell me the colors of the sunset last night. Tell me the colors of the sunset tonight. You can't. Because it's a bunch of colors, but it's all kind of mashed and woven together, and He paints a different one every single day. I've actually had people go with me to Thailand, where there's trees everywhere, and they get claustrophobic because they can't see the sunset. And I want to tell them, you can't see the sunset because of the pollution and the clouds. But they get claustrophobic because if you're from West Texas, you're used to God painting you a new sunset every day. It's variety, it's diversity. And Genesis 1 screams and says, God loved us so much, He didn't make us the same. He didn't make the world the same. He didn't make things look the same. He made us all different. He took the fearful nothingness and made variety. The ancients feared the chaos monster. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question to respond with a show of hands. Now, I do that. I like interaction because you're not the audience. You're the congregation, and we're in this together. Okay? So, I get irritated when people call the church the audience. The audience of church is God. We're all performers trying to please our audience. Isn't that right? So, I'm not going to call you the audience, but when you get response from the congregation, there's sometimes it's dangerous to raise your hand. Any of y'all married to somebody that's OCD? Or somebody that's CDO? You know what CDO is? OCD in alphabetical order. That's somebody really OCD? Well, people that have OCD actually remind us that embedded in who we are is the fear of the chaos monster. Jeremy even prayed about God delivering us from chaos to order in a prayer earlier in our service today. But at heart, we're all afraid of the chaos monster. Because what happens when there's a drought? It throws everything into chaos. What happens when there's a fire that devastates large acres of landscape and houses are burned and animals are burned and people are displaced? It creates chaos. What happens when there's an earthquake? There's chaos. What happens when there's hurricanes? There's chaos. We fear the chaos monster. We fear our lives being ripped apart and shredded in little pieces and we can't put it back together. That's so primal in who we are. We have Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. And a recognition that we can break things so badly, chaos rules, and we can't put it back together. But Genesis 1 says God defeats the chaos monster. A simple chart of how creation came to be and how it's spoken to us literally even says not only did God create order out of chaos, but the way He created order was orderly and defeated chaos. If you look at the first 3 days of creation, God creates habitats, light and darkness, sky and seas, land and plants. And what does He do on the second 3 days of creation? He creates sun and moon to go in the habitat of light and darkness. He creates birds and fish to go in the habitat of skies and seas. And He creates animals and humans to fill the earth, the habitat of land and plants. What does that tell you? God has a plan. And Satan longs to bring chaos to our lives and to creation. In fact, Romans 8 says that because of sin, our world is now subject to decay and the chaos monster still can break out. That's why there's tsunamis and hurricanes and fires and earthquakes and things that are devastating. And it's not the way God built the earth and the universe. But sin has brought that in. God, in His act of creation, brings order. That's not all we know. As we meet the Bible's God of creation, Creator is Father, Son, and Spirit, we're reminded of God's eternal desire to connect life with relationships. Why is it so important we talk about the Godhead that we just sang about in How Great Is Our God? The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. Why is it so important that we recognize that? Because God in His own nature is a God of relationship. Life is about relationships. And so out of the impersonal emptiness that existed with only God three in one, God creates this incredible world and this incredible universe with its diversity and its variety and its order. And why does He do it? He wants to bring us to relationship. And so in the middle of that, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God will go on and state in Genesis chapter 2 as He expounds on that verse we just looked at. He said, God didn't make us to be alone. Now, I know that there are folks that are introverts, that being around lots of people drain them. But introverts still need a person or two to connect to fill them up, to give them security, to give them a basis of life. Others of us that are extroverts, we just feed off the energy of being around other people. But even in our energy, we need times to be alone with God and experience that relationship. We are made for God and we are made for others. And so why do you think Jesus can reduce all the great teachings of God to two things? You remember those two things, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are important because they reflect the nature of God. Next, I want you to notice, and we skipped one. We skipped goodness and beauty just because we got to move on. But I want to go to our next one. Out of all this variety and order and beauty and relationship, all of that can become predictable and meaningless. We can fall in a rut. And a rut's nothing more than a grave with the ends kicked out. A grave that you live in forever. That's a rut. And so into the middle of this monotony, no matter how beautiful it is, God gave us purpose. God blessed the human beings and He said, be fruitful, increase, fill the earth, subdue it, reign over it, You're my caretakers. You're my stewards. This planet is yours, but do it so that my beauty is magnified and others that don't believe in me as the Creator can see the order I put here. That's your job. That's your purpose. God's purpose is for people change over time because the world changes and the needs change and sin has interfered. But we're made to do the will and the purposes of God. And so what did Jesus say? My will, my food, is to do the will of my Father who sent me and to finish my work. God created us with His purposes in mind. So, the Creator chose to create our world. And He chose to create our world with variety and beauty and order and relationship and purpose. And that's incredible and that's great, but our world is broken and it's marred by sin. And we see the effects of that as human beings kill each other, jockey for territory, control over the resources that God gave to us all. And we see our world broken by events that are cataclysmic. So what do we do now in that world? And God chose to recreate us to bring His kingdom, His new order, His new world into being now so that when we get to heaven and enjoy it with Him, it's a place we're ready for. Think about it. I wanted you to do something. Now, this is not the invitation. I know every time somebody thinks they're standing up in the sermon, it's time to get ready to sing. But we're not going to have the invitation yet. But I'm going to come out here right in the middle. And I don't know yet whether the mic's going to work back here. But I want y'all to stand up for a second, and I want you to look at me. Okay? Some of you are going, oh, no, I hadn't been paying attention. What in the world is the preacher doing? He's going to come thump on me. And I just want to tell Don Drennan, you need to behave better in church. That's all I was coming to do. No.
I'll stay awake.
You'll stay awake? Well, you were doing a pretty good job before that. Now, I want you to turn. We're so used to looking at the cowlick in front of us that we're not used to looking at the people on the side. So turn and look at each other. Don't look at me, but look at each other. And see somebody you know. Say hi. You see anybody skinny? You see anybody who is not so skinny? You see any hairy guys like Alan over here? You see any hairless guys like the guy sitting next to him? Now, what do you see? In the body of Christ, God makes us different. Why does He make us different? Because He likes variety. Now, you can sit down. I want you to get ready to go for the invitation. So this is kind of warm up, you know, like before the race. Because some of you may need to respond to this message here in a minute. But God made us with variety and He brings us into this. And that variety makes us beautiful because we have people we attach to that are different. And we can reach people that nobody else in our church can reach. And then God brought us together and we're a body. Some are eyes, and some are hands, and some are feet. Some are hearts. And He did that because He wanted to bring us into an order. And God did it because He wanted us to have relationship. Relationship's a powerful thing. Okay, Dwayne, I didn't ask your permission, but I'm going to just say this anyway because it's good stuff. On Wednesday nights, the elders spent almost an hour and a half talking about good stuff y'all did the last year. Okay? Because sometimes when things get a little off-center, we forget that the majority of stuff going on with God's people is really good stuff. And Dwayne, you know, I don't know him very much, but he doesn't seem like he's overly demonstrative with emotions all the time. But he got teary and kind of choked up. And he talked about how precious it was, how this family ministered to his family. When Kent was faced with a life and death situation. Okay, and some of us are connected to the Brantleys and some of us are connected to the Carrolls, and that was a scary time. And he testified how great you were to support his family during that time. God recreated us to have relationship, to unbreak what sin broke. He created us for a purpose, and our purpose in the world now is not to tend the world, although I still think that's part of our responsibility. But what's our responsibility as Christians? To go into all the world with the message of Jesus. So that everybody, red, brown, yellow, black and white, and every shade in between, all day and every night, can hear the name of Jesus. So, what God does in Genesis 1 is what He longs to do in you and me today. God wants to create something beautiful and someone good in every one of us. So, if your life is on track, well, you know what? That's great. But God longs to do more than you can ask or imagine by His Spirit at work within you. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters, is the same Spirit at work in you that longs to make something beautiful and someone good. And if it's good, it can get gooder. Okay? Now that's theological language. That's not proper English. That's theological language. But if God said it was good 6 times in Genesis 1, He can say it's gooder in you because the Holy Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep is working in you. So no matter how good it is, it can be gooder. And if life comes off its hinges, creation can happen again. Don't believe that? Go ask my friend Dan McKnight. Don't know how many of you know Dan. I've known Dan pretty much all our lives. He had a period of life where his life came unhinged. But that hadn't been what his life's been like the last 10 years. Oh yeah, he rides a Harley and looks like a woolly booger. That's okay. You know, if Jack Hardcastle had hair and could grow a beard like Alan, well, he'd look the same way as Dan does. Because they both like to run around on hogs. Okay? But ask Dan what it's like to get a new start on life. And to be able to love your mama and daddy till they graduate to go see Jesus. And to get involved in missions in Africa. And keep alive a dream and a vision that goes back generations. See, God longs to do something beautiful in you. And He longs to be able to look at you and say, oh, he's not, she's not good. It's gooder than that. They're very good. Now next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk a little bit more about how that new life starts. But if you're ready to begin a fresh start in your life, we'll be a little late to start class today if you want to come confess Jesus, be baptized. Because we always delay everything for somebody that wants to get wet. Okay? And just like we woke up this morning and were surprised to see wet streets, we'd love to start class a little late because there's somebody in wet clothes. And if you need to come back to Jesus, you find somebody on the pew around you, you find an elder with one of those name tags, and you just say, I'm not sure I'm ready to talk about everything, but I want new creation to happen today. Now, I'm going to ask our song leader to come on up here and let's get ready to rock and roll with this because you've already gotten up once and you know how to get up. Your muscles ought to be a little limber. And if you're ready to respond, we want you to know your Father is waiting to run to meet you if you're ready for a new start. Let's stand and sing.